Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. We got the charcoal all laid in the bed of this bad boy. The lighter fluid is applied. We just need a match to spark this one up. Welcome to the Sports City Cookout, Sports City. We got 60 minutes in the building. Y'all know why. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to catch it. Timeless is alive.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do.
Okay, ho, okay. Calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. The reason why we have a shortened cookout is the NBA season opener. We got a lot of stuff going on. We also have the MLB postseason, which is underway right now with the Yankees facing a 2-1 deficit in the series lead, giving up to the Houston Astros. Everything going down 35 minutes from my crib in the Boogie Down Bronx as well. We got some interesting news coming up, but I'm not going to give y'all too many of the dishes. I'm going to give you my big brother here first and foremost, calling in by way of Delaware, holding down the Midwest, the state of Indiana. R. Keezy, a.k.a. Mr. King, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, Timeless. Ready to get into this sports talk for the evening. Let's make it happen.
Okay, so like I said, we already have interesting news coming out of the NBA right now, in which the showdown is going down. I like how the showdown go down. I like how it go down already. Look, it's the cookout, so I got to throw it down how it go down. But Kyrie, welcome back to Cleveland. The Boston Celtics are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. In the next 57 minutes or so, we will be checking this out, seeing how this goes down. Boys, I will start right there. It was a game time decision on if LeBron would play. Sports City, I hate to be rude or mean or sound like I'm coming off funny. There was no, in my mind, there was no way that I could see LeBron missing this game after Kyrie basically said he didn't want to play in Cleveland. And a lot of people are pinning it to he didn't want to play with LeBron. I think it was more or less he knew that LeBron would leave, and he didn't want to stick around while LeBron made that decision. So as LeBron leaves, a couple more familiar faces that you know around the NBA come to this team. Royce, we'll start right there. Your thoughts on the showdown that's about to go down?
Well, Timeless, this is what it's about right now in the NBA. It's not even about the Cavaliers versus the Celtics. It is about LeBron James, who will play, versus Kyrie Irving. The kid versus the king. Who wins? Is this become a new rivalry matchup? I think tonight's game will establish and dictate the tempo of the Eastern Conference when it comes to the Cavaliers and the Celtics and where they finish in this race for Eastern Conference supremacy. We both know that most view LeBron James as having his reservation already made when it comes to the NBA Finals to represent the East. But Kyrie Irving obviously believes within himself that he has something special there in Boston with head coach Brad Stevens, Gordon Hayward. You add Marcus Morris coming over from Detroit, who brings some toughness, will aid Al Horford on the glass with the rebounding. And then you have a special young player, a rookie in Jason Tatum and second year man, Jaylen Brown, who's shown that he could defend on the perimeter. And did I mention that dog of a defender, Marcus Smart, who Avery Bradley got a lot of his credit, got a lot of his shine the last season, but Marcus Smart, you do your homework and check the data, was a much better defender and served the Boston Celtics well last season. So we're going to see what happens tonight. It's just a litmus test. It is game one, but it's the NBA, and it's October 17th, Timeless, and we're talking NBA.
I mean, this is no surprise to me and you. I mean, we talk basketball in the summer. So I don't care what time of the day it is or what month or what season it is, we can talk basketball whenever. But he is right. Normally, we're used to seeing the season opener or the beginning of the season at the end of October, usually that week of Halloween, and then everything really starts to kick in full throttle at the start of November, in which they shortened a lot of the games of the preseason. They wanted to see a lot of these players get out there and play. And I don't know if it was more or less of a situation where they wanted to stop some of these players from, you know, sitting out games and resting, things of that nature. But for a lot of these people that, you know, go to the game and actually see who, let's just say, for instance, Cleveland goes to Memphis and plays the Grizzlies. I mean, not to be rude, but I'm going to say it. There's no strong need for LeBron to play that game. You know what I mean? But LeBron more than likely will end up playing these type of games just because, I mean, he can if he wants to. It's up to the nature of the team and what the coach actually ends up deciding at the end of the day. But this is one initial standpoint that I think that they were looking at on shortening the preseason and getting the season started early. So I don't know if this is a good move or bad move, but this is something close to watch. Other than the two of them, because I don't really want to call them a matchup in LeBron and Kyrie. We just know that they're the former teammates. What else are you looking at in this matchup as it goes down in Cleveland today?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what the Cleveland Cavaliers look like with the additions of Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, how these two guys are going to impact the game and the team. I would say not effectively, but effectively ineffective with their three-point shooting because neither is really known for being a lights-out shooter from the perimeter. We know they're slashers, they're playmakers, they're tough shot makers, they're scorers. But to be guys that you could count on to stretch the floor, not even the average casual fan sees Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose in that light. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they're capable of from the perimeter. I also look forward to the presence of seeing exactly where Cleveland finishes game total-wise, Timeless, on the glass with rebounding when you add Jay Crowder to an already formidable front line of rebounders like LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. Then don't even forget about, again, where I'm touching the backcourt when I bring in D. Wade, who's a guy who for his career generally gets about 4.5 to 5 rebounds from night to night. So that has my attention for the Cavaliers. While on the Boston Celtics side, what is the early chemistry like for all the new faces, all these guys coming together really for the first time to play meaningful games together? Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, I'm sure see some time off that bench there, but Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, how would they be deployed? What would the minutes look like? Gordon Hayward generally was the first option out in Utah there. So what's it going to be like for him now playing second option to Kyrie Irving, Al Horford? We know he's capable of passing and making the right plays, but it would be interesting and be nice to see actually if Al Horford could find a way to just be a little bit more tenacious on the glass this season, because losing guys like Crowder, losing Avery Bradley, who I think had a career high in rebounding last season, means that someone's got to pick up that slack. They also lost Amir Johnson. They lost Kelly Olynyk. I mean, there were a number of departures. Jonas Derebko. I mean, just a number, massive amount of departures there in Boston from guys who generally, Thomas, main contribution would be to go out and rebound when they are on the floor. So Al Horford has a lot of work to do compared to what his numbers were last year on the glass. And, you know, it'll be an interesting, you know, test match. It'll be entertaining. But, again, it's game one. We're super excited about it. But, you know, in this one game, it's not going to ultimately, I don't think, define the Eastern Conference race for these two teams as they are within separate divisions, that being the Atlantic for the Boston Celtics and the Central Division for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, interesting enough that you already hit on one of the pieces that I was going to go after, and that was Derrick Rose, because Sports City, I was on the air with my big brother right here and also another face and voice that you know well here, and Aaron Simmons. And I didn't anticipate the scenario of it going down the way that it is right now, but Derrick Rose being the starter at the point guard position, I want to see if Derrick Rose has it in his tank to maintain this position all season long. And the reason why I say that is because they're waiting for Isaiah Thomas to come back. They're saying around or at the beginning of January, which is giving him a solid month and a half time to get back and, you know, play good ball, or 2 months. I'll look at it and say 2 months, if that, you know. And who's to say he just comes right back in and takes over the starting position, where I think that you automatically are going to go with a guy like Derrick Rose of his caliber, if he's healthy, if he still has that in the tank that can continue to slash and knock down floaters and jump shots of that nature. I think it puts a lot of pressure on any defense around the NBA to try and contain what the Cavaliers are going to present to these teams across the board. Also, this is something that I have been waiting for quite some time. I was wishing it would have happened while Derrick Rose was a part of the Chicago Bulls, was to try and see if the Chicago Bulls could get the Chicago boys back there and have it Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose play together. They're now playing together in a different city and going for the ultimate goal to try and get a championship there. I'm going to show my homerism also in this manner, and I want to see how Jeff Green could do too. Knowing that he'll be coming off of the bench, knowing that he'll probably be one of those, you know, energy lift guys for a guy like LeBron James to, you know, get his breather, get back out there, so on and so forth. But as you know, Royce, already, I'm a diehard Hoyas fan, and it's still a heartfelt situation of me thinking about the story about Jeff Green ever since he had, and I'm saying heartfelt, and no pun intended, but ever since he had his heart surgery and it was successful for him to get out there and play ball, just want to see him do well. And you know, year after year, he's been going through some nagging injury that leaves him on the sideline. So there are pieces on the Cleveland Cavaliers that, you know, do raise my attention. Now, on the Boston side of things, this is the one thing that has me rattled. Now, I'm not going to lie, I've always loved and liked LeBron, but ever since 2012, I had to pick a side. Of course, I'm going to go with my boys. You know what I'm saying? Outside of that, it was like just to see him be successful, things of that nature. And you have a guy like Kyrie Irving who's gotten to the past three NBA finals, one in which his kneecap popped. The next one, he hit the game-winning shot against the Golden State Warriors. And then the third one, they just lost, basically, to me, to be honest and to be blunt about it, were completely outmatched in this year's NBA finals. And he didn't, well, from every different venue of how they were anticipating and saying that he didn't want to play with him, he didn't want to be there while LeBron made another decision and ended up going somewhere else. I'm consistently concerned about what Kyrie has up his sleeve for the NBA season, not just in front of this game, not just in front of this game of what he's going to do. I've got people that are saying that, well, he's going to end up scoring like 21 points. One of my friends said he's going to shoot 25 shots and end up with 25 points. One of my friends was like, well, he's going to go for 50 because Derrick Rose ain't going to be able to stay in front of him. it's not even all about game one. I think there's going to be so much emotion involved in this game that they're not going to be able to get out of each other's way. So that's one thing I'm looking at. Gordon Hayward, I think that he's just going to have to more or less just fall into the role that comes to him and let the game come to him. I don't think he has to force anything. I think more or less when he was in Utah, he had to force the issue because he was the face of the organization. Right now, he gets to actually share the shouldering of the load with the pieces around him. We do have a caller in queue, and speaking of which, I must have talked him up. We do have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
No, man, it's such a pleasure to get back in the building, man. My schedule is insane, but every time I can, I definitely like to listen to the podcast, catch up with what my squad is doing. And unfortunately, as fate would have it, or how you look at it, I'm able to call the squad and get back on the baseball time. But, man, let me pick up right where you left off, player. You know, the thing about tonight's game, and if you want to look at the Cleveland Cavaliers as a whole, you know, for the next two or three months, and the Boston Celtics as a whole, If I can pick a more logical place for Derrick Rose to go, it would be Cleveland. Because let's call a spade. LeBron James is the point forward, point guard, just sat in the third on the floor. He was the same situation when he was in Miami. He did the same thing when he was in Houston. So literally, all Derrick Rose has to do is be a presence on the floor. We're not asking him to show up and run the show. We're not going to ask him to show up and try to be, you know, what Kyrie Irving was, which was an awesome finisher and a slasher and a big shot maker. He just has to be a presence, somebody that opponents are going to have to respect and knock down an open jumper when LeBron James is, you know, getting the attention from four men on the floor. So if he can do that, you know, at least hold the fort down until a playmaker comes back from injury in Isaiah Thomas, then I think this was a win for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, now with that being said, I think the Cavaliers legitimately upgraded bench-wise. I mean, Kyle Korver's back, you know, Jay Crowder's there. You already trust on your boy from Georgetown and Jeff Green. And so I think the Cavaliers legitimately upgraded on all different fronts. Now, if you want to flip it over to the other side of the ball with the Boston Celtics are concerned, I like the squad. However, again, emotions in this game are going to be at an all-time high. I mean, we don't need to make more about it than it already is. You know, Kyrie coming back to the queue. LeBron James and Kyrie seeing each other. You know, Isaiah Thomas is going to be in the building in the suit. He's going to see his old players. You know, I mean, the storyline writes itself. So if I'm Kyrie Irving, how do you channel that? How do you channel the extra added mojo for not only game one of tonight, but for to be the man in Boston? You go from being one of, to, in my opinion, being the guy in a premier basketball town. Like, Cleveland was, you know, put on the map because LeBron James is the guy he is. But you're going from that to a basketball town. Like, you look up in the rafters and you see the legend that have played ball on that floor. You see the legend that have played ball in the TD Garden, like a Larry Bird in the Parish, and the names go on. So you don't want to play in the spotlight of the King LeBron James, but you want to play in the spotlight of Larry Legend and company. How do you respond to that? You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of curious to see how Kyrie's psyche is, you know, for tonight's game. But, man, it's good to be back in the building. I'm sure we can talk about this game, the one coming up later on tonight, as well as some NFL stuff. So that got me for the next hour, so let's rock.
I'm also going to do this. Just to share the legitimate beef situation, I'm going to throw it back to, like, 2004, 2005. Do we anticipate the jump ball situation like we did with Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal? Do they shake hands? Do they shake hands? Like, because, you know, Shaq didn't even want to touch Kobe. Like, he looked at him like, man, I'm 7'2", I'm looking over your head, let's get it on. And Shaq ended up elbowing, you know, Bynum in the chest, and then Bynum went back down court and dunked on Shaq. I mean, just so much emotion involved into it. Do you think this is the scenario that it'll play into at the start of this game? I'll be honest with you,
T. I mean, I'm pretty sure something is going to happen. I honestly believe that the way these two parted ways, albeit it was very messy, ugly, you know, Murray, you are not the father type stuff, but at the end of the day, these both, you know, are professionals. I honestly believe that, you know, they'll shake hands about it because, again, let's keep it 100. There would not be a championship in Cleveland if it wasn't for Kyrie Irving. Let's keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, he seriously, you know, put game 4 and game 5 on his back and was like, yo, Bron, we ain't losing this shit. You know what I'm saying? He put Steph in so many bad positions and bad situations, including the, you know, game 7 winner, you know, that he hit, you know, in his face or whatever. So I don't think there's that much bad blood as people, you know, as it is talked about. Yeah, they wanted to go their separate ways, and, I mean, that's understandable. I think that, you know, shake hands or whatever the case may be. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Kyrie and Ty Lue have a decent relationship or whatever the case may be, and, you know, the beef was with LeBron and Kyrie, but, you know, the other members of that ball club, you know, are still, you know, tight with Kyrie, so I'm pretty sure, you know, Tristan and I have, you know, dap him up, you know, K Love and all them type of stuff, but dap him up. So I don't think it'd be as bad as the Shaq and Kobe thing or the KD and your point guard thing. I don't think it'd be that bad.
Okay, I'll get to him in a little bit. Royce, your thoughts on this? This is stir it up. It's the grill, man. It's the cookout. I got to start a little fire here. Do you think it'll be a crazy anticipation that they may not shake hands at the beginning of the game? I know it's not relevant, but just something to watch as they get in the heat of the moment. There's one thing that they actually talked about on a different venue. Let's just say the Celtics set up a screen and it ends up being LeBron having to guard Kyrie. Does Kyrie shake the crap out of LeBron? Because that crossover is, to me, unguardable. So your thoughts on everything, you know, things that watch on, you know, from the start of the game, the midst of the game, things of that nature.
Well, I mean, I'm not one to speculate and get caught up in whether or not somebody gets shook. I mean, like, who hasn't been shook in basketball? Who hasn't been dunked on? Who hasn't been scored on? Like, that means absolutely nothing to me. But I'm sure somebody out there is going to be watching to see whether or not they shake hands, if the looks are glaring, if they appear friendly or jovial, is the situation water under the bridge, or can they write the narrative and say, this is now an issue. Bron and Kyrie Irving have real beef on the basketball court. Like, I don't think that's the case. And that's the last thing on the mind of both players. I think both guys are professionals. I think each man realizes what they did for one another in terms of the game of basketball and winning a championship and doing it in a historic fashion in a city whose history was void of an NBA title. They did that together. So in the way maybe Sirius, you know, recalled it, I might not have given so much credit to Kyrie Irving. But it was a collective. So I just think at the end of the day, we need not really try to assign who did the heavy lifting or the light load carrying. I mean, bottom line, it is a team sport, but the beauty of basketball is we get to talk about individual exploits and individual greatness. And right now, the reality is LeBron James is way out in front when it comes to his level of greatness and being a transcendent player. And Kyrie Irving is just, you know, so much more flashier. He's so much more electric, and he has to make the more difficult shot, because just by stature alone, he's not LeBron James, and he can't do physically the things that LeBron does. At the same time, the flip is LeBron does not have the handles that Kyrie does. So you're not going to see LeBron shake and bake and put guys, you know, on their backsides the way Kyrie Irving does. So two different players, two different styles of play came together, gave Cleveland what they were looking for, and it's a championship, and they're going to give us exactly what we've been looking for tonight, and that is exciting basketball. Cavaliers, Celtics, 8 p.m. is going down. It's the kid, the bus driver, Uncle Drew, the king, the ruler of the land, LeBron James, the chosen one. What? Hey, man, I'm ready, bro. This is what it's about.
Don't forget about the LeBrons. I don't know if y'all remember that little feature they had with little LeBron and old LeBron and LeBron of today. I don't know if y'all remember that, but that was pretty cool.
It was a cartoon
stuff
they came out with. It was a cartoon.
No, they had a real version too. It was the older LeBron. I don't know if y'all remember.
LeBron,
it was a Nike
that
commercial.
It was a commercial. It was a commercial.
And old LeBron was like, this is what you put up numbers and all of that. But is this the game of the night? Or do we, you know, concede the situation of what Aaron is sitting on the edge of his seat to watch Houston go into ring night in Oakland up against the Golden State Warriors, because this is the new look Rockets with Chris Paul and James Harden in the backcourt, and to see if they can actually, make it a problematic situation for the backcourt of Golden State. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. I'll start with you first, Keezy, before I throw it to Aaron.
Well, you know, it is banner night in Oakland, California, you know, and largely in part due to the play of Kevin Durant. He was absolutely brilliant in the NBA Finals. I think the Golden State Warriors absolutely can thank Kevin Durant for what it was that he did and being able to come over from Oklahoma City and establish himself once again as a guy that needs to be talked about, and it needs to be pointed out on a regular that had it not been for that foot injury, maybe the Golden State Warriors don't even get in and get a chance to win their first title, okay, because he was the reigning MVP. He still plays at an MVP level, and his performance in that final showed that he has tremendously closed the gap that was once a great distance between he and LeBron James for arguably the best player on the planet, or at least in the NBA. So tonight he experiences for the very first time what it is to be an NBA champion, to see the banner raised, to receive his ring, to the victor go the spoils, and take on another former teammate who has gotten some help in Chris Paul. And it's going to be a matchup that I think, you know, when it comes to putting the ball in the hole, the Rockets are not going to struggle too much. They've got some shooters. I think they can keep pace in terms of chucking it up 20, 30, 40, 50 times a game from deep. But what is going to separate the Warriors from the Rockets, in my opinion, guys, is the fact that the Warriors are a top five defensive team and have been during this run to the NBA Finals. And the Houston Rockets, still coached by Mike D'Antoni. And he knows absolutely nothing about defense, in my opinion. So and until collectively there's a roster personnel group, 3 to 4 guys who can not only defend, but like the Warriors, two-way players, defend and score. Until the Rockets get that, I think, you know, regular season, it'll just be regular season. They'll get their wins and they'll take their losses like every team does. But that's what's going to separate these two. But tonight, it's showtime. I actually probably would pick the Rockets to win tonight because it seems like traditionally teams who on ring ceremony night, they don't regularly win. Generally, they take a L because they're just so high, and it's not a big deal. Look, they're the defending champions. It's nothing to prove. The chip is not won during opening night, first game of the season.
Okay, Mr. Simmons, your thoughts on the game tonight? Is this the game of the night, or is the game of the night out there in Cleveland? Your thoughts on this matchup as well?
You know, honestly, for me, it's my game of the night because my squad is in it. However, you know, I honestly couldn't really have picked a better day, you know, I can't pick the better slate of games to kick the season off with. You know, I mean, it's high-level basketball, you know, all the way around. I mean, these are four teams that could quite frankly wind up in the respective conference finals, you know, in May and June, you know. So, honestly, it's my game, but it can go either way, you know. Honestly, for me, you know, shout out to KD, you know, for getting his ring. You know, I agree with my man Ortiz, he said over there, he literally was the man possessed. You know, Cleveland had no answers for that man, and I like their roster now, but they still really haven't addressed a legitimate answer for that man. So, barring any catastrophic injury, I can see it playing out similar, but we'll talk about that as the season progresses. But, I mean, again, talking about the Rockets, I like what we was able to do this offseason. I really wish he was able to get, you know, Melo. However, you know, he went elsewhere, so we have to deal with that as we do as the season progresses. But it's going to be a great game, you know. I think the Rockets have something to prove. I really do, you know. We have to really convince, you know, CP3 that, you know, this is a place for him because he only signed a one-year deal, you know. So we got him on a loaner, you know, this year. And, you know, we got some bigger things that we want to take care of, you know, next year. But, you know, CP3 and Harden, it's an experiment. It really is. You're dealing with two very ball-dominating guards. So everything is going to be, you know, peaches and cream and cupcakes and Hallmark cards when, you know, the ball is falling in the basket and, you know, everybody's getting their plate fed, getting their belly full. But what happens when we go into a stretch where, you know, jumpers ain't falling, we're losing close games? Does this implode on itself? You know what I'm saying? We got Eric Gordon coming off the bench, you know, another guy who – the sixth man of the year who likes to get his shots up. You know, PJ Tucker coming off the bench, another premier, you know, defender who can light it up from the perimeter a little bit. Ryan Anderson, who greatly during round one of the playoffs, you know, another guy who's a volume shooter. We got a ton of volume shooters, you know, on this team. I was talking to my man today, we live by the three, you die by the three. Ball's going to go up. You know, we're going to average somewhere, you know, plus 35, 38, you know, three-point attempts a game. What happens when we only hit six of them? You know what I'm saying? We're not strapping nobody down like my man said. You know, CP3, you know, plays a little bit of defense, but, I mean, we really ain't strapping nobody down defensively as a team. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens during those times. I'll be honest with you, I want to pick us to win tonight. I just don't think you will. You know, again, regular season awards and accolades, you know, don't get one on game one, but, you know, a tone can be set, you know, off game one. A tone can be set, and if, you know, you catch that momentum and ride it well, you know, it can carry you, you know, for the first couple months of the season, and all of a sudden you're blinking, and damn, we're looking at, you know, Christmas Day games, and, you know, you blink again, and we're at the All-Star break, and then you blink again, and we're talking playoffs. You know? So, I mean, games and seasons aren't won and lost off game one, but momentum is set. So, I expect us to come out there and play well. I hope, you know, we really do, you know, have a good showing for ourselves. and, you know, avoid the injury bug. You know, CP3 has had some injuries throughout his career. You know, Tucker has had some injuries throughout his career. We were very fortunate last year that Eric Gordon, you know, didn't get hurt. You know, let's hope we can keep that going. You know, Ryan Anderson dealt with some injury situation. Nene, we lost him, you know, for the, you know, playoff run a little bit due to, you know, his groin situation. So let's hope that, you know, took care of itself. So we got a lot of question marks running the ball club. But to get back to the initial question, this is my game of the night. But, you know, no matter how you splice it, man, this is a great night for basketball all the way around.
Okay, calling in from the Midwest, AR, Mr. Robinson, welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, how's everybody doing today? I know I'm late, but I bought the potato pot and the potato salad. Bought some baked beans. You know, I'm making up for my tardiness today. I do apologize.
Okay, so we'll start off there. Which game or would you like to speak on? Which game are you thinking is more the highly anticipated between the Cavaliers and the Celtics or the Rockets and the Warriors? I'll let you start there.
Well, not to, you know, put any dirt on the Golden State game in itself. The more marquee game tonight is definitely going to be Boston and Cleveland. And this is the main reason, because Kyrie demanded a trade. He got his wish. So he's in Boston now. You know, he's the man with Gordon Hayward. You know, Boston has a brand new team over there, and they're coming into the land who beat them last year to go to the finals. So that's definitely going to be the marquee game of the evening. Now, these are two great games. Don't get me wrong at all, because Houston's going to come out and actually show that, you know, they can play with Golden State Warriors, you know, especially with CP3 on the team. And it's going to be very interesting to see how CP and James Harden works that high pick and roll, because that's all we're going to be able to see today is high pick and roll. And it's going to be, like Sirius said, a lot of threes going up tonight. So, and that's not even just from the Rockets, that's from both teams. Because, I mean, don't get mistaken, Golden State likes to shoot that ball too. So that game's going to be interesting. But I believe the more marquee game in itself tonight is Kyrie going back to the land, and just the overall ambience that he's going to get once he steps into that arena. It's not going to be like when LeBron returned, but it's going to be enough to, you know, to shake him a little bit. He's going to get booed. He better be ready. He's going to get booed. But, yeah, I think the Cleveland game is going to be the game to watch tonight.
Okay, I'm going to keep it 100% real, and I'm not just doing this just to do this, but I think the game to watch is the Cleveland versus Boston, but the game of the night is that Rockets-Warriors game, and I think that there's star after star that they could line up against. And not only that, not to say that he could lock them down. Don't take this any type of way, but I think that Ariza will make it interesting. I'll say interesting for Kevin Durant tonight. I won't say that Kevin won't get 25. I won't say that won't happen, but I think Ariza will make it tough for him to get his catches and get shots off the way he wants to. Of course, Durant will be streaking on some plays and knock down threes, and of course, the Warriors play unselfish ball, so they'll move the ball so you know that these guys can get open, set up shots and set up looks. But I don't think that by any means that D'Antoni will have this offense out of the game. So I think definitely that this is the game of the night between the Rockets and the Warriors. I think the Rockets can go in there and make it happen, but I think with a motivated Warrior team after winning a championship and trying to defend it again, because the last time they tried to defend it, they won 73 games and ended up losing in the finals, and it was all for naught. I think that they have to send a message or send a tone too. So I think this is the game for not only to defend them getting their jewelry, but also to prove that that wasn't any bullcrap, if you will, from the season last year. Anything else that you guys may like to add to this scenario where we get moving? Cricket soup already. I didn't mean to serve cricket soup already. Okay. This is a good one, so I do I do get any topic that you guys would like to throw out, but I have an interesting topic that I'd like to throw at you guys, and I know this may be off kilter, and I know people may feel a certain type of way here in the kitchen about it, but it's the cookout, so I'm going to go there. How big of a platform is sports altogether? How big of a platform is sports altogether? And here's why. Now, granted, you have your guy, or however people may put it in play, in Trump, and how he's so focused on Fort Worth today, i.e., Jemele Hill. And I looked at it because I was watching the show earlier. Jemele Hill lost her, you know, got suspended from her job because of statements that she made toward the president or what have you, and he said that she should be fired, so on and so forth. She ended up getting a 2-week suspension. Then you also have Colin Kaepernick and him taking a seat and taking a knee and not coming back to the league, and everybody else in the league kind of supporting him but also following suit to the, murdering of unarmed black men in America. And then, you know, Trump actually said, well, that called them sons of bitches. And, you know, everybody got involved, including the owners, so on and so forth. Then you got owners going back and forth about, well, they shouldn't kneel during the anthem, things of that nature. It's the sport world right now, the biggest stage there is in the country or the world, however I could pan this situation up, because I'm looking at it, everybody has their eyes on the sport world right now. Everybody. Everybody, including a baseball player that took a knee out there in Oakland, a pitcher as well. I mean, are people gaining ground in the sport world is what I'm trying to throw that at. I'll start with you first, Arkeezy. We do have a caller in Q2, but I'll let you start it off.
Run that question again, Thomas, because I was entertaining our guests on the live video feed. And you want to know how big is sports?
The stage of sports. You know, the soapbox, if you will, of sports. Is it grabbing the attention of everybody? Because more than ever, you're looking at the president of today. He's more or less focused on any and everything that's coming out of the sport world. You have a reporter that got under his skin about a comment that she may have made, which could be true or false. I'm not even here to defend or go against what Jemele put out there. Then you have Colin Kaepernick, who is more or less looking like, to me, and I could be wrong in saying this, looking like a martyr of, you know, today's actions of what's going on in the football world and, you know, towards the anthem, but it's going also on into the baseball field and things of that nature. Is sports the biggest stage of them all to, like, kind of promote what's going on in the world today?
Well, I don't know if it's the biggest stage of them all to promote what's going on in the world, but what I would probably say is that you can see men and women who look like you and I in large volume in sports. And it is a platform and a medium in which we are empowered and enabled to be influential throughout the world. It's where we can take stands, is where we are able to, again, levy our influence and our persuasiveness to lead others, let's say, if you will, out of darkness. It's a place where, because of sports, because of, let's take, for example, someone like LeBron James, who is not afraid to follow many of the great athletes who have preceded him, who have utilized this platform to speak in favor of our people who have suffered great injustices in this country and have had to deal with backlash, racism. I think everyone at some point has to deal with some form of prejudice, because we know that prejudice is not limited to skin tone and complexion, but just preferential treatment, who you desire to give that to and who you don't. But what sports is enabling right now today that makes it favorable a lot of times is that, again, everyone has access to a camera, a microphone, and there is coverage, there is news, there is media everywhere. And if you are willing to be brave enough and to be bold enough and articulate your point of view passionately, you might have an opportunity to spark someone's mind to begin an action and a behavior of change that can catch on, and it can snowball effect, if you will, and all of a sudden we have hopefully new positive trends that become the norm of conversation, the norm in behavior. And unfortunately, what we have not yet reached, Timeless, through this platform is the ability to effectively impact and change policies in this country. And I'm no politician, and I'm probably the last guy you should start with to even get into these type of conversation. But I guess you could say I have enough basic awareness to know that when it comes to the laws that govern this land, they still remain unfavorable to those men and women who are called the minorities. But I think what individuals who think along the lines of a Donald Trump have always been conscious of and recognized is that we are not in actuality in number the minority on this planet. And so unfortunately, fear is being used to attempt to rule the day, and change needs to come about. And I appreciate athletes, I appreciate sportscasters who are, again, attuned to what's going on in this world, and they're using their platform to speak out, to make a difference, and to again, impact change in this country and around this world, this planet.
There's no way that I would dodge you with this type of question. So this is the cookout. Everything goes down here. Everything. And you already know that. You can discuss anything. You are not the last guy. You are the first guy I'm coming to. Well, Sports City, an old voice, face, name, however you may put it, has come back to the kitchen, calling in from the Connecticut region of the United States, the villain himself, Barry. Welcome back to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Villain, what's up, fam? What's up, boys? How y'all doing? I must have lost the number. I don't know what happened.
Wow, talk about a blast from the past. Damn.
What? What's up? What's up, boys?
Villain in the building. What's up, baby?
What's the
You ain't eating in a while, and you ain't feeding yourself. You look kind of scary. You
look starving.
You gotta come get a plate.
So
I came in.
Okay. Well, I just want to let you know before I let you get at the topic that Royce just jumped on, because I definitely need your point of view on that. I've already converted somebody to be Oklahoma City Muslim. Are you ready to convert yourself to the Nation of Oklahoma City Islam?
Listen. You know, no pork on my fork. I mean. But I can't go with Oklahoma City. I can't go over. Listen. I'll root for him because you know Melo is still family. Stay Melo. But I mean, you know, I gotta suffer. I've suffered long enough with the Knicks. I can't abandon them now.
I'm trying. You said no pork on your fork. I'm trying to convert you, brother. Look, man.
That's what I'm saying. No pork on my fork. Strictly fish on my dish. But I can't just jump ship.
Okay.
I can't. You know, I can't do that. You know, I'm trying to get saved too. You know.
Okay. No problem. Well, you sit there and suffer with poor Rangers and the rest of the nobodies. Okay. So let's have at it. Your thoughts on the state of sports right now, and this is a cookout, so I had to go there because I'm just seeing everything that's going on. And more than ever, and I have to, Sports City, I've never seen a president so focused on everything that's going on, you know, minuscule to his perspective, at least, that I say, that he should be more or less concerned with every need in the country, not just trying to address if somebody's standing for the national anthem or if somebody's on Twitter talking about him, you know, things of that nature. People are saying, well, this isn't the right place for, let's just say, i.e. Colin Kaepernick to take the knee. Well, the rest of the NFL follows suit. He is looking like the martyr of the situation right now. So why wouldn't it be this scenario right now? Your thoughts on this, Barry?
I mean, it's a whole big political climate right now. I mean, thanks to the number 45. I mean, I got to preface it first. I'm a Democrat. I'm not a Trump fan. I hate him right at this point. FYI, Pence just walked out of an Indiana bar because they were kneeling down to pick up a drink. But listen, the problem is that the problem is you know, Trump needs to distract you. Trump needs to distract you from what's really real, what's going on out there. I mean, you know, he can't get his tax reform done. Obamacare is still alive and kicking. He made his executive order, but that's not, you know, that's not going to work. States are already filing grievances and fighting it. So what's the easy target? It's the political arena in sports, in this whole big – and listen, I can sit here and talk about it all day, but sports is in as a whole, since going back to the Olympics with the fist raised for the Black Panthers, it's always been a form where you can kind of voice your opinion and really, you know, put yourself out there. There's been a whole lot of different political statements made on the sports arena. I mean, you're going back to Jesse Owens running the track while the Nazis were watching. I mean, it's always been like that. It's just at this stage, it's so heightened with social media and Twitter and Facebook and everything. It's just, listen, the president has nothing better to do. He's trying to distract people from the fact that, listen, you're not a patriot if you don't kneel for the flag, which is not what these guys are kneeling down for anyway. It's for, you know, cop brutality and all that kind of stuff. But he makes it a political thing, and you're either for or against us. You can't be against your country because that's not patriotic. But, you know, he says it's for the military. But, you know, the military, they paid the NFL to have the national anthem played and put the flag out there because they wanted to drum up some support and drum up some membership for their army and for the Navy and everything. But nobody talks about that. It's about, you know, if all of a sudden you're not patriotic if you don't like the military. But when the Iraq war was going on, everybody hated the military because they went to war. But, you know, listen, I'm not going to get into that. Sports is so big around the world. There's a sport being played everywhere, anywhere you go in this whole world. So, of course, it's going to be a lightning rod. Even if you don't like sports, you're still going to hear about it. So it's easy to latch onto. It's easy to talk about.
Okay, I feel like I brought an interesting topic to the kitchen, man. And just like you said, we could talk all day. That's why I brought it here to the doggone cookout. AR, your thoughts on everything that's going on in the world today, and especially how it's being focused in front of the sport world as well?
Well, everybody pretty much knows how I feel about 45 and his little puppets. And it's exactly, you know, what was just previously said. All he's trying to do is just stir up any type of hoopla that he can, because he's not doing a great job in passing all the stuff he promised his supporters. So now, well, what's the latest thing that everybody latches onto? Well, sports. Everybody loves sports. No matter what type of game it is, everybody loves the sport of something. So, you know what, let me attack that and see if, you know, everybody could, you know, forget what I'm not doing. I mean, let's all be honest. He plays golf more than he does sitting in his office and actually passing the bill. I mean, he hasn't passed one yet, by the way, if anybody's keeping record. But it just comes to it that sports is what it is. I mean, sports can bring you together and sports can divide. But at the end of the day, playing a game a country together more than anything else. And that's always, it always has been that way.
Okay, Sirius, your thoughts on this that everybody has addressed? I mean, your thoughts on the political standpoints in the world today and how sports is basically at the forefront of everything.
You know, man, I'm glad I went last because it really gave me an opportunity to kind of figure out how I was going to answer this question. You know, those people who follow me on social media, you know that I very, 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 very strongly voice the fact that I don't like discussing political things. And in today's day and age is that racial matters to a lot of people have become political. And so what's going on now is you have athletes using their platform to make a stand either for or against, you know, what's going on with Colin Kaepernick's kneel in protest of racial injustice. So what 45 has managed to do is take the focus off of that and turn it into what it has now become. So athletes like LeBron James, who are very outspoken, who are very, I guess, secure at his place, are now stepping out about that. Other NFL athletes who, you know, are either very secure in their place or just don't give a damn are now starting to step out about their particular position. Sports, to me, gentlemen, is my definition of what America should be. You got people from all walks of life coming together to accomplish a goal. They eat together. They sleep in the same hotel room. They watch film together. Their families intertwine together, all for the sake of achieving the goal, which is greatness, which is unity, which is togetherness. Okay? What has happened, again, is that this situation has caused you to pick a side. You're either for or you're against. You're either on the side that says, do not kneel and support my fellow, you know, minorities who are, you know, getting, you know, killed out in the streets for whatever reasons. And again, I'm not going to get into that because it's not that show. But I, you know where I'm going with that. Or you're for, you know, the different movements that are protesting, what Kaepernick is for. And that is not what America is about. That is not what sports is about. And how dare you, 45? How dare you, people who come at these athletes and these brothers and these sisters that have a backbone to take a stand on something that's important to them? How dare you come at something that's important to them? Who gives a damn if it's important to you? Who gives a damn if you don't understand it? Who gives a damn if you don't understand why this is important to this person? This is America, okay? Land of the free, home of the brave, okay? Land of the free. That freedom gives you the right to have any type of opinion that you damn near want to have. Whether you're playing basketball, you know, playing football, sitting behind a desk at a news network, you have that right to have that opinion. So it baffles me that at this moment, sports is now being a target, you know, more so now than it has ever been, you know, for people, for athletes to, you know, be afraid to stand up or be afraid to make a stand because, you know, all of a sudden money's not coming out of their pocket. We have an owner who came out and said that his players would get cut and or benched if they made a stand. We have a network suspending players, suspending, you know, employees because of an opinion. We have, you know, radical people coming at each other because they have an opinion, as if you don't put your pants on the same way I do, so your opinion is different, you know, or should be valued more because it's different from my opinion. Last time I checked, my leg goes in my pants one leg like the other. I don't understand. Again, let me stop talking because, again, I can go on this for hours. Believe me. But it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that the target is now sports. When sports was put here on this, you know, in America to unify and to come together and for everybody to work together to achieve a goal. Regardless of, you know, opinion, regardless of a political affiliation, regardless of sex, gender, or creed, you know, I'm pretty sure that there are Democrats on these football and basketball teams. I'm pretty sure there's Republicans on these football and basketball teams. I'm pretty sure there are independent people on these football and basketball teams, and there are damn sure black people and white people and Orientals and Hispanics on these football and basketball teams. They managed to come together and work together in unity to achieve a goal all of a sudden because one wants to take the knee before a national anthem, you know, the powers that be call that a problem. Again, it baffles me, but I don't like where it's going. I do applaud all the athletes and sportscasters and journalists who, you know, have taken a stand and are not afraid to take a stand, whether it be for or against. Honestly, gentlemen, are you going to be for or against it? That's your prerogative. That's what makes America so damn great, that you can have an opinion, or you should be able to have an opinion and not get, you know, ostracized or money taken out of your pocket for it. You can have an opinion, you know, in America and not have your boss, you know, take your livelihood from you. You should be able to have an opinion in America, you know, and even though I may not agree with it, I respect your right to have an opinion. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 100 with you fellas. You know what I'm saying? My wife is a cop, was a cop, okay? My wife, my Caucasian wife, was a cop. When all this stuff started happening, we had a very different sort of opinion on right, wrong, and different because she only saw things through those eyes. We got into battle sometimes because she only saw things through those eyes. I was only seeing things through my eyes as an African-American male. It wasn't until I came to an understanding of what she may have been going through and what those officers may be going through where I was like, okay, you know what? I can kind of somewhat understand some things, and vice versa. It's not until we come willing to put down our own separate issues and our own baggage and our own blinder, so to speak, to where we're actually going to come to a common ground and understand other as people are going through. And it's a damn shame, again, that sport is not taking the heat for the majority of it.
I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to ice the cake because I wanted to get y'all to throw as much topics as y'all can, but I know we are right here at the season opener, but I'm going to ice the cake like this. I've been doing Sports City. This is going on in my, as of December comes around, it'll be my 8th year going into Sports City. And right now, I have 4 of my brothers on the line with me right now that I have argued with, that I've, you know, shared laughs with, that I've shared difference of opinions with. But the one thing that brought us together was, or is, sports. And just like Sirius hit on, no matter what race you may be, no matter what sexual preference you may have, no matter what gender you may be, no matter what religion you may believe in, it brings us all together at the end of the day. And the one thing that could break us up right now is the racial agenda that is still being pushed, which has been swept under the rug, I want to say probably from the 40s, you know, 50s maybe, and has been showing its head here and there, but now more than ever in 2017, it's like it didn't go anywhere. It just more or less gas added to the fire. People, you have to be smarter than this, and not just talking to the people that are here on Sports City. I'm just talking to the people of the world today. Do not let this break us up. And to be honest, I'm going to be real honest, if this may get me in trouble or whatever, I could care less. I really think Donald Trump is reading from a script. I don't think Donald Trump believes in any of this madness. Donald Trump used to be one of the more, you know, coolest guys ever. He was on Method Man's album. He used to walk Muhammad Ali out for fights back in the day. Like, you could see Donald Trump doing a ton of things back in the day. Now, all of a sudden, you are pushing a racial agenda and watching every move being made, no matter who may be speaking about you, so on and so forth. Come on. I know at the end of the day, probably in the next 3 years after his term is done, he's going to be cool once again. Just like if you watch what George Bush Jr. does. George Bush Jr. is taking pictures with Michelle Obama. This is the same guy that Kanye West was like, you know what, George Bush don't care about black people after everything went down to Hurricane Katrina. And everybody had to come together for Hurricane Katrina. You got J.J. Watt down there doing this thing for Houston. And everybody's donating money to, you know, provide for the people down there in Houston during a hurricane. At least these people are alive. Colin Kaepernick took a doggone seat, took a doggone knee for people that are no longer here no more. Just because their skin tone may be different from other people, people feel some type of way, which I feel is not fair. Well, you want to know how I'm going to ice this cake? I'm going to say this. People say that it's not patriotic for people to take a knee or take a seat during a doggone national anthem. Do they know what the Army team did during the national anthem this week? The entire team took a knee during the national anthem. I got the chill saying that right now. The Army team, the entire team took a knee for the national anthem. But you're only focused on the minorities that are doing it. I'm telling you, Sports City is something else, man. It's something else. I'm like my eyes are watery thinking about it right now. Like, enough is enough. We got to come together, people, and beat this racist bullcrap. Enough is enough, man. And for sports, it's something that brings us all together. Even the people that have racial thoughts, opinions, or views, so on and so forth, I bet you half of them are Cowboy fans. Right? Because since they're America's team, I bet you all of them cheer for Zeke, Dak, and Dez. But the game over, and if they seen Zeke, Dak, and Dez in the street, they'll feel some type of way about them. They don't like Colin Kaepernick no more because he took a knee. But the Army team took a knee. So y'all don't like the Army team then? If Colin Kaepernick did it, Army, they fight for it too. Do you know who told Colin Kaepernick to take a knee? A Green Beret. A Green Beret told Colin Kaepernick to do it on this stage in the sport world today. I had to get that out there, Sports City. I had to. Anything
Kyle,
else that you guys
something.
Are like?
Kyle, let me say something. All right, I'm gonna read something to you. All right, this is what the U.S. Army people who get sworn in actually pledge. Before they get sworn in, I have my wife send it to me. I do solemnly swear to affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I will bear true faith and intelligence to the same. I will obey orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed. Now, nowhere in that whole oath does it say anything about a damn flag. But what it did say is I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So the Constitution of the United States of America that allows men and women to make a decision. Men and women die for their right to make a decision. on whatever the hell they want to make a decision on. So for those that are listening, okay, I'm going now. I don't care. For those that are listening, who sit there and try to say this is about, you know, disrespecting the flag or the military, they didn't put their hand on the Bible and say they're going to defend the flag. They said they're going to defend the United States of America. They didn't put their hand on the Bible and, you know, go into war and put their life on the line for a flag. Now, don't get it twisted. I love my stars and stripes. I love the flag. I mean, I understand what it represents. But don't try to put this shit on the army or on the military. I'm standing up for the military. Because that has nothing to do with the military. It has everything to do with the Constitution of the United States of America, which these men and women bled and died for. Don't take sports away because you have a difference of opinion. Don't take sports away because you don't like what's going on right now. Don't de-unify us as a people because you don't like what people, you know, point of view is. And then try to put the fact that the military or I'm standing up for the military, the fact for the military on top of that. Like you said, Todd, Mr. Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick got his orders from a Green Beret. I don't know if y'all know about military stuff out there, but that's kind of like the highest level of military that there is. You know what I'm saying? The Army team, like Ty alluded to, these are Army people. These are people that took the pledge before playing ball. They took the pledge. They put their hands on the good book and took the pledge. The police officers that are in question, that have committed these questionable acts, so to speak, put their hand on the Bible and took the same damn pledge. So why in the world does people catch amnesia and try to put the military on top of their bull stuff? I don't understand that. I'm sorry. I normally do not go here. Y'all know me. Y'all see me on Facebook. I don't go there. But damn it, enough's enough. Enough is enough. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, you like 45, waiting for 46, miss 44, regardless, enough's enough.
Man, Twitter, I had to, man. I just seeing too much go on in the world today on how they, you know, trying to keep us divided, man. And that slogan is starting to stick with me, man. United we stand, divided we'll fall. And with Trump having us on the brink of a nuclear war, which I hope don't happen, you know. Because I don't have a silo. I don't have nowhere to go hide from a nuclear massacre. I don't. Even though Kim keep playing with them and they keep going back and forth. Like I said, I think Donald Trump is reading a script. He's supposed to build some wall across the border of Mexico, Texas, California, Arizona. Have they started construction anytime? Did they do that? Have they hired workers? Did they take any extra tax dollars out of your check? I'm not buying that. Stop it. Stop it. The agenda is being pushed. People have to be smarter. And the one thing that brings us together is sports as of now. And this is what's being pushed, I guess, across the board, at least in football as of now. I'll say football for now because Adam Silver is pushing the agenda where he doesn't want any other players to take a knee during the national anthem. Roger Goodell has actually had the players and the owners meet today about trying to get somewhere on not having to either kneel or have the players have their rights, you know, and being able to do or express themselves before the game. And I applaud everybody that's trying to do this the right way. But it's not all about
blue lives matter. It's not about black lives matter. It's not about white lives matter or red or yellow. It does. All lives do matter, man. All lives. I stress black lives matter because we're the ones in front of the, you know, the crosshairs. And, of course, you know, people get mad when you say that and say, oh, well, you know, white men die just as much as black men in front of, you know, police brutality, things of that nature. I mean, to think about the percentage of African Americans here on in, you know, the United States compared to Caucasian men in America. And not to say that any of these men deserve to get killed. These cops are going out there with guns and tasers and choose the gun. There's a woman that got her job back by, you know, killing Terrence Crutcher, a preacher, in front of his family, his wife and kids. He got killed in the middle of the street because his car broke down in the middle of a highway. He got shot, killed in front of his family. She got her job back. That family don't get their father back. I'm done with that, man. So, Sports City, I know that we got the season opener, man, and I'm loving the fact that I was able to share this topic with everybody, and I'm glad that I got to do it because it is the cookout. There's no set scenario here, so I'm feeling some type of way, and I'm thankful that my brother sat through this one with me to try and put my heart out here on the line, because I'm feeling some type of way, and the reason why I'm feeling that type of way is because today's my cousin's birthday that died almost 2 years ago, and he's a Houston Rockets fan, so I felt some type of way. I had to put my emotions on my sleeve today. So I'm going to close the show here. I need plugs, close out anything that you guys would like to promote as we shut it down at the cookout. I already see the scoring going on right now. Cleveland and Boston are going at it. Boston is up from what I see. But it's early. It's early till the first quarter. I'll start with you first, Bill, and I'm glad that I got to hear you back on the air. I've seen that you've been tweeting and doing your thing.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I forgot I took my thing off of mute. Man, Gordon Hayward just broke his ankle, dog. And his foot is turned sideways. Oh, my God. No, I wouldn't lie like that. No.
Oh, my God.
No. No.
But the guy ain't seeing that.
No.
Oh, my God.
I see that.
Oh, my God.
No.
Damn.
Come on, man. That's not how... See. Yo, this game, man. See, and man, just to pick up kind of off of that.
Look at this. I see it.
This is what we're talking about, people. This is what we're talking about when it comes to sports and to passion, right? There are millions of people who are watching this game right now that will eventually catch this game on video, on tape delay, whatever the case may be. You're going to witness the strength of humanity united in the face of adversity. Listen, I implore you to not be moved by the fear agenda. I know it's in the news. I know you're concerned. I know you're worried about it. I've been in the military. I'm asking you, please keep your faith. If you don't have any, find you some faith, okay? And live your life to the fullest. Do not live separate. Unite. We need one another. We inspire one another. We encourage one another. We uplift one another. Okay? We support one another. I don't even want to see it, but oh my goodness, this is just such an awkward fall, awkward landing. And you know, man, look, Gordon Hayward gonna be all right. He's gonna bounce back. But it's unfortunate, in you know, an untimely injury. Injuries are never come, you know, really at a good time. But from someone who actually tore his ACL one day after being fired from a job years ago. It's something about the recovery process, man, it just forges you in the fire. It only makes you stronger, right? These things come and they make you stronger, and you never, you know, you never really want to go through them. You don't. But serious, my brother, appreciate your passion. I appreciate how well you articulated your heart and your points of view. Ty, your questioning that you posed to the panel, to the chefs here, and as well as, you know, I try to, you know, take another step with what we do here inside Sports City and gather people to our podcast to not only, you know, call in the number through going live on Facebook, on the Royce King Sports page, on my personal page, and just letting them know, like, this is what you can get here. If you need people to talk to, if you're looking to talk sports, or if you're looking, you know, to, in a sense, expand your network, if you want to get into this industry that we are a part of, the sports media industry, you can always call that number, 917-889-9592. You see it right there on my video screen. We are on air right now. Call in, speak to the host. TP Timeless, you know, we've been doing this almost, what, 10 years? Just faithful, just consistent. Other chefs have been with them longer than myself. But, hey, man, we in this together. We are one. And even when, like you stated earlier, whether we are going back and forth or arguing with one another, we understand what sports and entertainment is about. Sports and entertainment is one thing, but when it comes to the reality of having one another's back, you know, we are there, man for man. And so I'm glad Gordon was able to, you know, be moved, man, and they can kind of get this game going. But that right there, that just changed the game for the night, guys. That just changed the game.
Nowhere near did I anticipate, and I don't even know whether to call it gruesome. I feel like I'm using too brutal of a word, but a nasty injury for like that to happen in the midst of talking about this. I wanted this to only run an hour. I wanted to get in and let everybody to, you know, start the season tip off and things of that nature, and then this happened, and my topic kind of carried into this of us uniting, and knowing that Boston is on the road in Cleveland. Everybody stood up together and clapped in support of Gordon getting off that floor on the stretcher. Had my back to the game until Royce woke me up, you know, and I had to basically see what was going on. But just like I said, sports has us united, and the perspectives or views or things of that nature are, you know, getting us to divide each other. Got people not watching football. Just because of, you know, certain situations that are going on with the kneeling and Colin Kaepernick not being hired, so you have African-American people that are not watching. Just know that everybody that has a voice, that everybody has an opinion, has power. Just know that you have power. People that think that, you know, African-Americans will be strong enough to push the boycott, just know that ratings are down at an all-time low right now for the NFL right now because of what Colin Kaepernick knelt for. I was going to say stand for, but he knelt for it. All right. So I need plugs and closeouts from each year. We actually lost Sirius. I was trying to let him know that we were shouting him out here, but he's actually in the midst of a game, so he's going onto the field. He was letting me know that while Royce is speaking.
But I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Barry, I'll let you set this one off first. Thank you for stopping by the cookout. We got to get you here more often now. Now that you hear where we're going now, man, we're focused, man.
Listen, yeah, I gotta get back in the swing of things. It's been a while. I told you, I'm like, I'm not losing weight, but you know, I'm not eating right. You know, I gotta get a good meal. So, I'm just stunned. You know, seeing the injury and then watching my Yankees come back. You know, it's like a whole big roller coaster of emotions. But guys, thanks for having me. You know, miss you guys. I'll be back soon. Hopefully. Well, I got to get in early in the season because by next week, the Knicks will be out of it, right? They'll be out of the race. So
Whoa, wait. You have to be here Thursday night. You have
tomorrow?
To be here Thursday. Don't run for me now. I'm trying to give you your papers before you become the enemy. Don't be on the other side.
This is that BS now, because everybody knows that the superhero himself, TP, always hated on Melo, and now you got him on your team. And now, you know, you singing a different tune. And so everybody wants to stay Melo. Now you got
PJ
your hoodie
on. PJ the Nation of Islam. PJ the Nation. What else have you do?
Yeah.
I got him in battle.
Everybody wants to stay mellow.
You come to the sport, the Oklahoma City Mosque, and we take care of you, man.
Listen, 30 games in, when he starts complaining that he's not getting the ball enough, I don't want to hear that lip. We ain't taking him back.
After 30 games, if we 29-1 after 31 games, after 30 games, then what?
Hey, listen, you're the best chance to beat the Warriors, so, you know, all power to you. But, you know, back in New York, where things are going to get cold and dark, you know, it's a different story. I mean, we got Raymond Sessions and Jared Jack fighting for the one guard. Come on.
I got your papers. I got your papers, so I'll keep them here. Hopefully we get you back here Thursday as your next go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, listen, it'll be fun. I'll call in. It'll be fun. But thanks for having me, TP. You know, you my brother. I love you, man. Thanks, everybody. It's going to be a long year, but, you know, hopefully, you know, I got something to smile about. Go Yankees. We back up 6-4. Holla at you, boy.
No doubt. I love you too, kiddo. All right, AR, you already know what to do. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Well, as everybody know, I'm your boy, AR. You know, Barry, hey, I'm with you on that. Let's go, Yankees. We getting it done. Judge, all rise. I've been telling Timeless, all rise. Judge is in the building, and he's doing his thing. The Yankees are going to take this game, hopefully. We're going to go up 2-2, and we're going to see if we can get this done. It's my only hope because my Colts suck right now. My Pacers ain't going to do much of anything, but I got the OKC Thunder to lean on this year. We're going to get it done, Thunder. We're going to challenge Golden State for that awful crown atop the Western Conference and going into the championship. My hopes and prayers. But everybody have a peaceful night. Be blessed. Tell somebody that you love them tonight.
Listen, I don't know how you go up 2-2. Don't you tie it up when you get a 2-2 situation? I don't know
well,
if that's going
you
up.
You know
2-2.
What I mean. It's tied up.
I'll let you speak, brother. You had all this whole time list and other stuff, and Judge all arrived and all that other stuff, but I know Roy's been slandering you like crazy about the Colts, and I'll let you rest. I'll be chilling. I'll let you always do your thing. You know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden you go up 2-2. Let me know. Just inform me if you get a 2-2 scenario in a series, which the game is not over yet. But if you get a 2-2 in a series, isn't that tying it up, or do they go up?
Hold on.
Hey,
breaking news, man. Ezekiel Elliott granted another temporary restraining order, and he will play in week 7. Hey, man, somebody out there cooking the books in Dallas. You hear me? Like, that
listen,
boy.
Listen.
That boy, listen,
like,
man. That dude's supposed to serve. He's supposed to serve a 6-game suspension, and now they granting him another temporary restraining order, and he gets to play? I stand by what I said. Hey, he earned his suspension now. I ain't got nothing to do with the judges or whoever doing what that keep finding ways to get him back on the field. It is what it is. I just thought I'd break in that way, and I decided to take the high road instead of going back and forth with them lowly bum Colts with 2 wins that you can hear it now on national media. They're saying the same thing I'm saying on ESPN and CBS. Yo, they beat 2 teams with no wins. It don't really matter. They suck. Holla.
Oh, goodness. See, look, all I did was ask him about the 2-2 scenario to see what happens to you. You run into a death trap. Like, I tried, man. I tried. And the crazy part about him playing that song, right? He playing that song, right? And knowing that they just gave him a 1-game situation. And here's the crazy part. Is the NFL desperate to get people to watch because Aaron Rodgers just broke his collarbone, so now they get Zeke back out there? I had so many different things to get to Sports City because I wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers, and people talking about that hit was late. I don't know about that. But now we have this scenario painted in front of Zeke talking about he's going to be out 6 games. I thought that was more or less a situation to pay Jerry Jones back for everything that he stated. Sports. This is what I'm telling you, Sports City. Like, I had so much. I had things to throw on the grill. But, of course, you get a Yankee Colts fan to start getting out of his character that I just signed to the nation of Oklahoma City. And this is what I go through. This is what I go through, Sports City.
We ain't even get to the fight in Chicago in practice between Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic, where Bobby Portis then put his teammate in the hospital and his teammate is out indefinitely because he allegedly sucker punched him in the face and left him with 2 broken bones in his face. Can you say bye-bye Bobby Portis, or what was they screaming 2 years ago in fantasy, free Bobby Portis? Oh, yeah. You in trouble, son. Your NBA career, what's my man name? I think my memory's serving me correct. Kermit Washington.
That's true.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Mm-hmm. Broke his
eye
socket.
I think it was Kermit who hit Rudy Tomjanovich in the face. All I'm saying, Bobby, you can always tell your kids you got drafted to the league and you played for a couple seasons. But I hate to say it and break it to you, but I'm going to break the news to you right here live on Sports City. Your NBA career is over, young sir.
Do you? Okay, how about you, AR? Hey, I don't know if you heard the information about Portis and Mirotic going at it. Do you think Portis's days in the NBA are over?
Oh, I heard about it. He's done.
I don't know. I think a team might take a shot at him, but we'll see. You know, people have to, you know, hold their anger, man, hold their temper. Tomorrow's a brighter day, man. Tomorrow's a brighter day. And the crazy part about it is just like this. You have to think about this. Like, your repercussions after you do stuff like this, like to swing on your teammate, to mess up millions of dollars, like, I look back at myself about a year or two ago with the same situation, probably more than 2 years ago now, with Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez just signed a $41 million contract extension with the New England Patriots, went out with his boys and went and executioner style killed the dude. Let me tell you something. I don't care who I'm playing for. If it could be the Cleveland Browns, it could be the Indianapolis Colts, it could be the Dallas Cowboys, it could be the Dallas Mavericks. It could be, I don't care. If you are giving me $41 million to play a sport that I love, listen, this pistol or the alcoholic beverages or recreational drugs that these guys may get into, this is off to the side. It's for the cows or the clowns. You can have it. You can have it. I'm not messing up a lottery ticket for y'all. I look at guys like Adrian Broner, who Adrian Broner messed in his career, riding through Ohio, getting shot at while driving. It's like, yeah, all of this gangster life that y'all trying to live, y'all can have it, bro. Ain't nobody perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect either, but I'm going to try my best to stay away from stuff that will keep me in trouble. That's for sure. That's for sure. But me having to deal with these Colt fans trying to talk junk, or these Yankee fans trying to talk junk, or these Cowboy fans trying to talk junk, or these Knicks fans trying to talk junk, or these Steelers fans trying to talk junk, or these Houston Rockets fans trying to talk junk, now I'm just not having it no more. Or these Philadelphia 76ers fans are trying to... I'm just joking, because those are my brothers, and they know I know all of their allegiances. They know I know every last one of them. Every last one of them can speak to me, and I know their teams left and right, top to bottom. Top to bottom. Sports City Chefs, you already know what we do. We'll be back here Thursday on my opening night. I mean, this is opening night for the NBA season. I'm happy to see the round ball go up and down. Curtis Blow said they're playing basketball. One of my favorite songs back to the 80s. I'm dating myself. I'm old, y'all. I'm old, man. But it is one of my favorite sports. It's a toss-up between basketball and football, man. But I'm loving it. Trying to get people out of the kitchen before this went down, man. But the topic carried. I even got serious before he gets on the field talking about he had, listen, in his words, he said, I had to unload on that topic. Thanks for getting me in that show. Just to let y'all know how much this stuff is. And it's sports, y'all. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Would have thought I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. Since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry mama, I promise it wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money and this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light.